Good morning and welcome. This is the second hour of the Bible study. It's the Ask the Pastor program on KFUO Radio. KFUO Radio is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for joining us. Thanks again to Pastor Curtis Dieterding for his lesson in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And he agreed. We spoke for a little bit after we got off the air. And, you know, the second two-thirds of that chapter about all the different members making up one church. Respect each other, cooperate, be content, and get along. You don't need to dwell on that for an hour. I think we covered that pretty well. Joining us now is Chaplain Keith Wise. He serves at Lutheran Senior Services at Merrimack Bluffs, but, you know, spends time in Florissant and spends time all around the area. How you doing, my friend?
Doing well. Good to be back.
Where you been hiding?
I haven't been hiding. I've been working.
You've been away from the station here for a little bit.
I have indeed, but I've been busy all the same.
Well, is that a good thing to be busy when you're a chaplain?
Yes, indeed. I like it that way.
Well, what makes a chaplain busy? Stuff?
Stuff. Yeah, lots of stuff. We have two regular worship services a week. I teach three Bible studies a week. I do a hymn sing and another devotion every week. And on top of that, I visit with folks who are sick, folks who are well, and anybody who needs anything. So it keeps me on my toes.
Well, Lutheran Senior Services has been an underwriter here at KFUO for a while, different programs. You want to plug them real quick because we appreciate all that you do for us.
Well, we have, like Merrimack Bluffs, the full range of options from independent living all the way down to care centers for those who need them. We have memory care places at those folks. We have home health. We have hospice. We have all the different kind of range that more mature folks may need. And feel free to give us a call. Merrimack Bluffs number is 636-861-0600, or you can look us up on the web at lssliving.org.
Now, I asked you when you came in if you went and got some chicken yesterday. Because, you know, we've got to talk about Chick-fil-A again, because this is still a big deal.
Because it's not going to go away.
It's not going away anytime soon. And you did not get a chance to make it out there, but I'm sure you saw some of the news coverage.
I did see some of the news coverage, and I've gone to Chick-fil-A several times, but I didn't go yesterday. But that's not because any political reason or anything like that. But the underlying issue here, like we said earlier, it's not about chicken anymore. It's about political views and being able to view, openly express those and not face the wrath of certain government officials for having differing political views, which is probably the most shocking part of it. You know, I don't agree with, but I can understand people who have different political views. That's how it works. But historically, that's been how our nation has worked. You can say what you like. You can do what you like in your own business, not breaking any laws. But there seems to be some pressure now from government officials on folks who don't agree with them, who do business in their communities, which is new and frankly disturbing.
I have a theory on why so many people turned out yesterday. But before I get to mine, I'm curious to know, why do you such an overwhelming response, greater than anybody ever imagined, maybe even record-setting? I mean, Dan Cathy, who is the chief operating officer of Chick-fil-A, said perhaps even world record-setting sales yesterday for a fast food establishment. Why do you think so many people turned out?
Because I think a lot of people feel that their points of view aren't respected. A lot of people feel bullied by certain prevailing, or what they see as prevailing, senses in the larger community, and they're willing to stand up in ways that they can for what they believe in. And it's also not a hard way to stand up for that if you're going to get some good chicken.
Well, that's true.
So, you know, and it was a particularly easy way to make your point, and also to support people who may be like-minded, or at least are willing to express themselves and say, we'll take the consequences that come with it. This is what we believe.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. Normally don't set a tone for the program, but if you went to one of those Chick-fil-A's yesterday, I'd be curious if you would call us and let us know what your experience was while you were there, with crowds, with people, what they were saying. Was it polite? Was it angry? That sort of thing. Now, here's my theory, chaplain-wise. People did this because it was something they know how to do. You know, if you want to stand up and say, I'm for the Constitution, well, how do you do that? If you want to say, I'm for traditional families, outside of the context of just going and buying a sandwich, how do you do that? Well, you go to church, you live your life, you raise your family, but as a public expression, it's hard to figure out ways to do these things. But this is something simple that everybody could relate to, and so they did it. Also, to some extent, I think perhaps there's maybe some safety in numbers.
Right.
As well.
A lot of other people are going to be doing it. I can do it too. And, you know, if I know where the store is, it's easy for me. I know how to go and order food and those kind of things. But it is difficult at times to know, how do I stand up for what I believe in? How do I express to people what I believe in? And I think what happens is often people get caught up in the, you know, if I'm not doing this for the whole world to see, it doesn't really matter.
Right.
When, in truth, if you do this within your family and with your neighbors and at your work, with the people you're in contact with every day, that's just as important as it is if you do something big or huge or newsworthy, because doing it on a small scale sometimes is where you make the most impact, because it has a personal impact on someone who knows you and respects you and sees you. So when it comes to matters of faith or matters related to the expression of faithfulness and traditional Christian understandings of marriage or society or anything like that, it's just as important to do it in your smaller social circles and in family and among those at work as it is to do something big, say like go to Chick-fil-A with a jillion other people.
Yeah. It was a rock, you know, Herman, who's a regular caller to the program, called my desk after the program yesterday, left me a voicemail that said, be curious to know if you go back, talk to some of the folks and see what their responses were. Mm-hmm. And it was a remarkable thing. I talked to one fellow. I went to the one that's the freestanding location on Manchester Road, just a little bit east of Highway 270. And we were there, I guess it was about 7 o'clock, and this poor guy was supposed to have gotten off work at 5.
He was still there, though.
And let me tell you, he was running around the seating area. He was refilling drinks. He was getting folks stuff. He was worn out, but he was grateful for the turnout. And I said, well, what do you think of all this? And he basically says, we just serve chicken.
Right, he's doing his job.
He just served chicken.
And those folks are kind of, I think, the forgotten folks in this whole Chick-fil-A thing. The guy who gets up every morning, the woman who gets her kids ready for school or daycare, drops them off and goes and works every day. Not necessarily because she's making a political statement, but she's got to pay the electric bill and feed her kids and pay the mortgage and those kind of things. Those people seem to be the forgotten folks in a lot of the coverage here. These folks do this job because it's noble work. It provides a service. It helps other people in the community. And it's still holy work, regardless of anybody's political views.
Exactly.
But that's been missed in the whole thing. And do these people benefit from that? Yes, they do. But guess what? They benefit every time somebody visits Chick-fil-A, or, not to be partial to them, any other restaurant for that matter. It's holy work when you're serving others and providing a service and taking care of your family and doing all these things. And that's one aspect of the story that's been missed, because we've focused so much on one man's expression of his faithful Christian witness to the truth of what marriage is and what he supports, which is good. But it's a bigger picture, too, that by providing work for these people and helping them provide for their families, everybody there is doing holy work.
And by extension, I think you can we'll talk a little bit about this, and let's bring some of the callers in on this.
Okay.
But I think that companies' operating model and the values that they espouse for their business, I think, was reflected in who turned up yesterday. We'll be talking about that. Let's bring Rick in on this. Rick, good morning. Thanks for the phone call. You're on Chaplain Wise.
Okay, good morning, Roland. Thanks for taking the call. And I didn't catch your guest's name.
Chaplain Keith Wise.
Morning, Rick.
Okay, good morning, Chaplain Wise. I drive by the St. Clair Square that has a Chick-fil-A in the food court. And I'm working afternoons this week, and I thought, okay, I'll take off a little early. I'll stop in there and support this restaurant with the statement that the CEO has made. If I stayed in line, I might have got dinner.
It was a little crowded, was it?
Maybe. I don't know if you're familiar with this particular mall, but I came out of the Macy's store, and as soon as I came around the corner to head down to the food mart or the food court, the line had extended all the way back. There had to be over 500 people in line at that moment. And I walked down to one side. The line was on the other side. I knew, well, I'm not having lunch here today because I'll be late for work. And I walked down to the Chick-fil-A, and all the other restaurants maybe had five or four people in line, but this line just extended. And when I went around on the other side and was walking back where to leave out, the security guards, they were setting up roping off the section where the people could stand on the other side. And I looked at this family, and I'm watching these guards put this barrier, and I said, it's just like God says, come out from among you and be separate. And they just all started laughing but it just seemed to fit, you know. And then across the street, they're going to have a grand opening of a Chick-fil-A, and there were many people camped out. Now, that was for a different reason, because I hear at a grand opening, the first 100 customers, I think every week they get a free meal or something like that. So, and I think that grand opening may be today or this weekend or something like that.
Well, Rick, give me your impression of the crowd that was in line, and compare it maybe to other lines you've stood in for other things.
Yeah. It was respectable, mild, people talking, you know, carry on having conversations, no disruptions, nobody in the crowd that was trying to give a sermon or anything like that. You know, it's just people standing in line waiting on a, like you say, a chicken sandwich, and that was it. Now, Friday, I don't know, that may be a different story, but pray a hedge of protection. I think yesterday you said something about you stopped in to grab a breakfast sandwich, and the lady behind the counter was just kind of like really scared.
You could tell. You could tell she was, yeah.
About what was going to take place through the day. And I thought it was going to be simultaneously. I thought both of these groups were going to be showing up on the same day. I'd leave out. I hear on the hour news that it was Friday that they were going to have the other group show up. And so, and that tends to be, I don't know, this goes along with the territory, a little more rowdy, a little more crazy.
Well, that'll be an interesting comparison, the people who show up on Friday. See, this is why I think it's a great thing that this happened before that, because at the location where I was, there were no complaints. People were standing in line in this parking lot. I mean, thanks for the call, Rick. You know, and in this parking lot, you know how parking lots in West County can be sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, with folks at jock. There were people actually giving people parking spots when they opened up. I didn't see anybody complaining, folks staying in line. Nobody said, geez, I think they're going to run out of chicken. Nothing. It was just a very calm, people were just there acting very decently.
Well, and I think that's a reflection of, in one way at least, of what Mr. Cathy had said. You know, he didn't say, we're not going to serve these kind of people. We're not going to hire any certain kind of people. He didn't say, we're going to discriminate against any people. He said what he stood for.
Right.
And in a very real way, I think that can be encouraging for people. And if we translate that to the bigger picture of the church, in many ways it can be very encouraging to tell people what we stand for, what we believe, what are the good things
the
we hold on
argument.
To, what is it, what are the blessings that we receive. Now, is there a time and a place for saying we're against that, this is wrong, it's bad for us? Yes, there is. But we can't ever forget to say the positive side of things, to express what the blessings are, what the good things are, what we stand for, what we believe, and why that's a good thing for us, and not just us, but for the world.
The crowds were well behaved. Nobody was making political statements. Nobody was.
Oh, but they were.
Well, I'm
by being there.
I mean, no one was there holding signs,
okay,
and no one
saying.
Was there.
Right.
You know, and I've got a story here. I got to pull this out. This is the somebody put up today the reactions from some of the folks that were opposed to it. Now this company that allegedly discriminates and is bigoted towards gay people.
Mm-hmm.
The Huffington Post had no shortage of gay people who work for Chick-fil-A to find to interview about what they thought.
A little
Chick-fil-A.
Ironic. I saw a thing this morning. I try to scroll through news things related to church and stuff, and I think I saw a thing this morning about a Chick-fil-A that's a partial sponsor of a gay pride parade at some part of the country later on this summer. You know, so it's very interesting what really is going on here, and I'm not sure people understand. I don't understand it fully, but the way I'm looking at it is, I don't think it's necessarily just about what marriage is and how God has designed it and who marriage is meant for. I think the bigger issue here is, can people in a private business, or can people in the church even, because if the government can do it to a business, they can do it to the church, can people engaged in that sort of activity say what they believe and say so freely without the threat of persecution from people in authority? That's, I think, the real root issue here.
Yeah. This has, I think, a lot of very familiar flavor. If you go back to the mid to late 18th century, with the Stamp Acts and the Tea Acts and all these things being compressed down. And I think yesterday was an expression of a very simple phrase: we shall not comply.
Yeah, it very well could be that. People,
you think buying a chicken sandwich is a bigoted act? We shall not comply. We're going to go buy a piece of chicken.
Yeah, and if that makes me a bigot, so be it. I'll buy some chicken. Call me what you will. and people do eventually get to breaking points. And it's the same whether we're talking about Chick-fil-A or if we're talking about pressure put on church or the treatment of Christians. Eventually, people get to the point where they say, I'm going to stand for what I believe in. I'm going to say what I believe in. Call me what you will. Do what you will. This is where we stand. This is what we believe in. This is what God says, and this is how we do it. So I think we have to look at the bigger picture here,
right?
Because there's lots more going on other than is this an issue about marriage or not.
Yeah, I, just to emphasize here, I really do think that the people who turned out yesterday in appreciation of a number of different things were a testament to how that corporation chooses to do business.
Right.
And I'll tell you this, was at the ball game a couple of weeks ago. You know what? Four guys standing in line for a beer, not as well behaved as the hundreds standing in line last night at Chick-fil-A. Now, it may have been the beer line, too, but I don't know.
It could have been.
But again, you know, you look at people that go to a ball game versus what happened here yesterday. I think, you know, and that speaks to what you said about the witness that we present as the church to the community,
mm-hmm.
and what that draws. You know, look, I mean, you know, these quotes here. And these are supposedly people who that didn't want to be named but are quoted. So it's always dubious when
right.
people don't want to be named but are quoted. Andrew, a gay 24-year-old who's been working at the Northern Alabama Chick-fil-A since January, sat in his car smoking a cigarette, watching the crowd during a break. I call it Hater Appreciation Day. That's what he says. I call it, he says it's very, very depressing to see this kind of a turn. I thought,
he works there?
He works there.
And what is it every day when he gets up and goes to work?
Yeah.
Is that... See, hate is used as this sort of mark against people when we don't agree with them anymore now. It's hate for us to say what God says about marriage. It's hate for us to say what God says about life. It's hate for us to say what God says is sin. It's hate for us to disagree with you, and that's the easy fallback argument. You hear lots about hate all the time. Well, that's not hate. Speaking the word of God, speaking it in love, speaking it with patience, but speaking it with steadfastness and a certainty of what God says, that's not hate. It's the exact opposite of hate. Now, may we always agree on everything? Yes. Does that mean you hate me? No. Does it mean I hate you? No. But instead of just trying to end the whole engagement by throwing the word hate out there, how about we talk about what's really going on? See, I get so frustrated when people say, oh, well, you're just hateful. Well, how? Why? Yeah, yeah. Where's the next question? Well, why is this hate appreciation? Tell me what,
right,
where that comes from.
Buying a chicken sandwich is hateful, but you know when this traveling freak show of public pornography shows up on Friday with their kiss in?
Yeah.
Well, that seems a little hateful to me.
He works it.
He works at one in Northern
Alabama. So it's hateful for me to buy your chicken sandwich, but it's not hateful for you to make it and sell it to me?
That's right.
Really?
You know, and it also says that Chick-fil-A is such a hostile work environment for homosexuals that this man who's a self-declared homosexual, and I'm not sure how the reporter found him, he's sitting in a car smoking a cigarette, and the guy, he says, yeah, this is a hateful thing. They employed him. They didn't burn him in the front yard.
No.
You know, here's a question from Eric real quick before we go to our break.
Okay.
He emailed in, and sorry, Eric, you got in a little bit late for getting one of those Chick-fil-A gift cards yesterday. Congratulations to all the folks that did get one. It says, I've noticed a lot of people equating anti-gay marriage with racism. Where's the logic in that? Good question. I think they try to do the same thing with abortion.
Well, I think it's related to the charge of hate. You know, if you can label somebody with a tag that is widely unacceptable within the society, you can put a negative light on them. If you say the anti-gay people are just like the racists, the anti-abortion people are just like the racists and the segregationists, and it's just like the folks in the 60s who wanted to keep the races separate. If you can make that connection in people's mind, whether it's legitimate or not, you can separate them from actually engaging and listening to their point of view. You just cancel them out without ever engaging. So I think in some cases there is a very shrewd, sinful logic in it, in weakening the side that supports traditional marriage and biblical marriage and what God says. There's the logic. Not that the argument is logical, but in the tactic makes the opponents of gay marriage seem weaker in the eyes of those who may not be sure which side they're on.
Yeah, this world is insane because, again, it's to Eric's point here. So you say to a woman, it's probably better that you allow your child to be born than to have it dismembered in the womb, chemically burned to death in the womb, or whatever other grievous ways they bring about the end of these lives. And that's a hateful thing. I got to shake my head because my eyes are stuck. I don't understand that.
It doesn't make any sense. There is no logic in that argument. Just like there's no logic in saying that traditional marriage is the best thing for society. It doesn't make any sense.
505. Excuse me. See, I told you, you guys prayed for rain, and thanks be to God we got some. But now all the mold is back up out of the ground, so...
You're welcome.
Be careful for what you pray. Be careful for what you pray. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. I'm going to get a drink of water during the break. Chaplain Keith Wise, our guest. Lutheran Senior Services is where he serves at Merrimack Bluffs. Check those guys out. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we get back, along with some other things in the news. Chick-fil-A is still fair game, but we're going to move on for a little bit. Ask and answer, as they say in court. Join us during the break. We'll be right back after these few short announcements.
At 21, Alan Babin joined the Army to serve his country. He became a combat medic because he wanted to help. One night on patrol in Iraq, his platoon came under heavy fire. His mother, Rosie, describes what happened next.
A call for a medic had gone out, and without any regard for his safety, Alan left a covered position and rushed to the young wounded and was hit himself.
Now, like many wounded veterans, Alan will require daily care for the rest of his life. Paralyzed Veterans of America has been working for over 60 years to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned from the country they proudly served.
PVA is the voice of wounded veterans. The fact that they're there and advocating on behalf of paralyzed veterans is a really good feeling.
To support Paralyzed Veterans of America, visit pva.org.
Chick-fil-A has been in the news as a company whose owners are not afraid to speak God's word in regard to same-sex marriage. On the next broadcast, which will be one of Ruminations, we will be talking with Pastors Mark Smith and David Pelsu on this issue and any other that you may email me at lawgospel@lawgospel.com. 1 o'clock, Monday through Friday.
On KFUO Radio.
Hi, I'm Pastor Ted Lesh, pastor at Chapel of the Cross Lutheran Church in North St. Louis County, inviting you to listen to our KFUO radio worship broadcasts on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Active worship, preaching, music, and singing are part of every one of our services at Chapel. Join us Sunday nights at 6. It's one more broadcast worship opportunity for you from your friends at Chapel of the Cross and KFUO Radio.
A coalition of 60 church leaders have told lawmakers to consider the plight of the poorest Americans as Congress battles over taxes and spending. Bread for the World President Reverend David Beckman says lawmakers arguing for tax relief for top wage earners should agree to extend the child tax credit and the earned income tax credit. Beckman says it would benefit 15 million low-wage earners.
These are working people. Their benefits would be cut, and everybody else would have their current tax benefits continued. It's just wrong.
Supporters and critics of Chick-fil-A's president's stance against same-sex marriage continue to speak out. This Florida man had lunch at one of the fast food chicken restaurants and picked up the tab for some coworkers.
I want to support the CEO's right to free speech. I don't think it's right that anybody should take any political action against somebody who's just voicing his opinion. And he's just running a business like anybody else in this country.
Some same-sex supporters say they'll show up Friday to kiss at Chick-fil-A's. I'm Norman Hall.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Cleveland Right to Life is using the latest technology to save babies from abortion. They've printed a QR or quick response code on literature used by pro-life sidewalk counselors outside abortion mills. Now imagine an abortion-bound woman sitting in the waiting room of an abortion mill. She scans in the code and up pops a 3-minute video of 3 and 40 ultrasound and fetal development pictures. It's one more chance to protect this woman and her baby from abortion. Life Issues Institute was proud to provide the fetal development pictures for this video. Now the QR code is available free to anyone who wants to use it. Contact me through today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org and we'll get you more information. This window to the womb will save lots of babies.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Good morning. Welcome back. It's Ask the Pastor on KFUO Radio. Our guest this morning is Chaplain Keith Wise. He serves at Lutheran Senior Services, Merrimack Bluffs location. And just again, because Lutheran Senior Services has been very good to KFUO, if folks are at that point where they're considering the right kind of alternative lifestyle as opposed to what it's come to mean.
Careful how you say that, but okay.
Well, look at the tyranny of language under which we suffer today.
I understand. I
and
really
that is
do.
When they transition from the hectic life of, you know, getting to work and getting the kids and all to maybe some retirement settings or some care settings. Lutheran Senior Services is a great place to go, and they can contact...
You can contact the community where I work, which is Merrimack Bluffs. by phone at 636-861-0600, or you can look us up on the web and see all our different communities and services at lssliving.org.
lssliving.org. Thank you again for putting that in there, because like I said, we certainly want to extend back a hand of support, much as you guys have done for us here at the radio station.
Thank you very much.
Let's go to the phones. I was expecting a call from this listener. Herman, good morning. Good to hear from you.
Morning, Herman.
Good to hear from you. Thank you for the continuing the topic. Pastor Wise is most astute to point out that the mainstream media propaganda has injected a template in that if you're against, speak against practicing homosexuality, you're full of hate. At the same time, dovetailing into that is that in this culture today, all emotions are equal. Therefore, that eliminates any external morality or restraint or other conditions. All emotions have to be acted out. It really leads to absurdity, but it sounds cool. I would say that in this Chick-fil-A thing, what has helped to marshal the response is the Christian media and Christians using the social media, electronic media, that has marshaled the response you've seen at Chick-fil-A. And actually the number of homosexuals is really very small, and consequently they've got to organize their efforts to get a photo opportunity event to protest it. Apparently they're going to try that on Friday in select places or so. The average people in the country, it shows that there's, as you've observed in the well-behaved crowds, it's a much different outlook.
Much different, I think, reflective of the business model of Chick-fil-A.
Yes, indeed. So that's good that you gave a report on it today, and I know that person you saw at the Chick-fil-A was worried probably they'd have gay activists in there disrupting and everything like that, but apparently it didn't happen.
And when I went back yesterday evening, because I wasn't going to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go for breakfast, so I figured going back in the evening would be just as good. When I talked to that one manager, I mean, like I said, he had been there all day. He was supposed to get off at 5. This was about 7 o'clock, and he is working just as hard as everybody else in the place was. No complaining, no griping. Nobody went back and said my order was wrong. It was a very pleasant experience, unlike the beer line at the ball game, as most people would find. But the thing is, he wasn't there to talk about the politics of it. When I asked him some of these questions, it was, we're just here to serve chicken. We're just about the hospitality of the guests who are here, and we're working on taking care of everybody who shows up.
Yes, they did their job, and that sense of daily stewardship of vocation.
Yeah, and I thought that was an app. And I don't think that came from him as sort of a corporate memo came down saying this is how you, it was very genuine. This is really all he was concerned about, was taking care of the folks who were courteous enough to come and spend their money in his establishment.
Indeed. Well, good that you gave a follow-up on that on the program today.
Well, thank you, Herman. Good to hear from you.
Thank you, Herman. God bless you.
Yeah, and it was just so horrible that I had to go and eat more chicken.
Okay. How did you ever manage?
Let me tell you, they don't underwrite this program. Wish they would. They don't. They didn't give anything free. You know, we gave away some gift cards yesterday. We picked those up ourselves. They didn't give those to us. But you know, it's good stuff. Yeah, I got to tell you, I like it. It's good stuff.
And that's why the company is successful. They provide a product that people like at a price that people can afford, and people are willing to go get it where it is. See, that's how traditionally, I'm venturing out of my area of expertise here a little bit, but that's traditionally how business works. You provide something people need at a price they can afford, at a place where they can get it and make it easy enough for them to get. And that's how business is supposed to work.
It didn't used
to be about, I do that, and I have the right political viewpoints, therefore I can be in business in this place. That sort of religious test for opening a business is the scariest part of the whole equation.
You know, I don't think you're out of your bailiwick at all. I think you were spot on with good Lutheran theology there. What are we talking about? We're talking about Luther's explanation of the fourth commandment.
Sure.
We're talking about Luther's explanation of give us this day our daily bread. You are absolutely in your bailiwick.
Well, I'm no economist, so I don't want to get into that.
All right, we won't talk to you about.
But from the theological side and the idea of vocation and stewardship and doing what we're called to do and helping our brothers and sisters through vocation and those kind of things as a godly calling, any kind of business that does that, you know, Chick-fil-A, Home Depot, whomever, it doesn't matter what it is doing holy work. And if there gets to be a religious test for can we do business in certain communities with the beliefs we have, then you come into really dangerous territory because it's no longer about true vocation and true stewardship and providing service. It's about people policing religion and belief and what your bedrock values are. Yeah. And that's very different than how things have historically been.
Well, and let me tell you, and I mentioned a little bit about this yesterday, I'll just say it again for emphasis, then we'll move on to other things.
Okay.
Rahm Emanuel, the famous statement, Chick-fil-A values are not Chicago values. Well, let me tell you, what I saw at Chick-fil-A yesterday in the national news reporting, I don't think I had a unique experience there in De Pere. I think that was the experience of most people at most Chick-fil-A's across the country. Well-mannered crowds, people, you know, simply there to buy some chicken, maybe make a statement in doing so, but polite, courteous, patient, and all those sorts of things. I guess those aren't Chicago values.
Yeah, well, it's a statement from a political standpoint that can come back to haunt you. A company that does good business, that looks out for its people, that's open to everybody, that provides a service at an affordable cost, that makes a profit, that's good to the community, that has customers who are good and well-behaved and faithful and those kind of things, that's not Chicago values, or that's not Boston values. Or really? You don't want those kind of people?
Well, Washington, D.C., Boston, and Chicago mayors all came out and said, not in my town. And I asked the question yesterday. I didn't get an answer because I think it's sort of rhetorical, but how many liquor stores opened up in Chicago this year? How many massage parlors exist in Washington, D.C.? And in the city of Boston? Well, you know,
open up
the phone book and see how many but Chick-fil-A.
I think the follow-up question...
And you churches, too. Yeah. You guys, you get out of here as well.
The follow-up question should be, then, what are Chicago values, or what are Washington values, or
Killing each other in the streets, and Louis Farrakhan...
I don't think, in their defense, I don't think anybody would say that, and I hope not. But, you know, it does seem like a comment that wasn't very well thought out. And
oh, no, I think it was very well thought out. It was very well thought out to play to the constituency that supports Rahm Emanuel.
Well, maybe so, but
And as Herman points out, a small minority of population in the country, but you know what? Deep pockets.
Well, I don't think it was very well thought out in terms of, hey, I'm mayor of a whole city here, not just the one certain part of it. I think you have a point there, too.
Yeah, well, they'll play out over the next couple of weeks. Hey, look at this. USA Today. Mm-hmm. This is today's edition. Right here on the front page, there's a graphic of the United States in little smiley faces. You see that? It's little smiley
How
faces.
How happy.
And it says, if money doesn't buy happiness, what does? So other than a chicken sandwich.
Well, not having the benefit of...
What makes you happy, Chaplain?
Having read the story. Money doesn't buy happiness. We've all heard the story, the saying, and it really is true, because what makes someone happy is almost really off the point a little bit that I want to make. I think too much of the time we give too much emphasis to happiness. We hear people talk about...
that makes me sad, Pastor.
Okay. We hear people talk about, I just want my children to be happy. I just want my family to be happy. I just want to be happy. I want to be happy. I want to be happy. I want to be happy. It's like it's the only thing in the world. Well, if we back up a little bit and we look at the bigger picture, you know, yeah, sure, I like happiness. I want to be happy. But you know what else I want to be? I want to be forgiven. I want to be blessed. I want to be renewed in Christ. I want to be fed and nurtured in the faith. I want my body to be well taken care of. I want to be respected by people in my family. I want to be respected at my job. I want to do good at work, and I want to do good things in my community. I want to be seen as someone who is faithful to Christ. I want to be accepted as someone who is not perfect, who's willing to confess my sins. I want all of those things. Now, see, if I get that, happiness comes. But if all I look at is, I just want to be happy, well, people will look for that anywhere. You know, well, I want to be happy. Well, let's do some drugs. I want to be happy. Let's knock over a 7-Eleven. I want to be happy. Let's burn down a house. You know, take your pick. You know, if you don't really know where true joy and blessing comes from, happiness is going to be fleeting, whether you have $1 or $1 billion. So I have no idea what the story says because all I see is the headline there. But that's how when that comes up to me, I always say, let's look a little bit deeper and see where true happiness comes from, what it is, because it's a bigger picture than most people think.
Well, someone out there that does broad surveys of economic conditions has come up with the idea that money is not the way to gauge happiness. So, you know, gross domestic product, GDP, you know, they assume that if you've got money, you're happy. And it says the global movement embraces the idea of a happiness index rather than GDP to measure people's well-being. And it says this is coming to the United States.
A happiness index?
Happiness index. Let's see here. It says the United States, home to the smiley face and the Happy Meal. Boy, those are two great things to be known for, isn't it? Is attempting to do just that, responding to a movement that has been hailed as revolutionary and derided as silly or worse. And basically what it looks at is stuff that makes people happy.
Okay, so is it a purely materialistic thing?
It is. It's just that what they're saying is it's not just money, but it's other stuff that can make you happy.
That you can get with money?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Perhaps, or other things, you know. Are you satisfied with your job? I don't know if that makes you happy or not.
Yeah. Well, I can see. I think it's valuable to see where people are in their life. You know, are they satisfied? Are they happy? Are they doing rewarding work? You know, are they uncomfortable or dissatisfied? Those kind of things. It's very important. There is more to life than the GDP.
Yeah.
There is more to life than the unemployment numbers. But what we must never forget is, you know, there's not a whole lot more to the guy who is unemployed. There's not a whole lot more to the economist whose job depends on where the GDP goes this quarter or next. Those things are very important, but it's kind of a theme today. We got to look at the bigger picture of things. We got to look at where does happiness fit in? Where does it come from? What do I have? What don't I have? And the ultimate question is, where does all this stuff I have come from? Well, it's a first article thing. You know, God has made me with all my abilities, limbs, senses, and given me all I have. All I have. Everything comes from God. We're stewards of God's good gifts. So if we look at it that way, well, sure, you can see happiness attached to those kind of gifts, but that's not the only part of the picture. It's bigger than that.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Or by way of email, KFUO at KFUO.org. We have some time left with Chaplain Keith Wise going through some other things in the news other than Chick-fil-A. But that, if you want to bring that back up, that's perfectly fine as well. I think there's still that story is not fully written yet. So if you want to come in on the conversation, feel free. You know what apparently makes the missile defense staff at the Pentagon happy?
This should be interesting.
This is from Bloomberg. Missile defense staff. These are the people that watch the Russians and the Chinese.
These are the folks with their fingers next to the button.
Next to our button as well to fire back if called upon.
Okay.
Missile defense staff warned to stop surfing porn sites.
So
now, again, Chick-fil-A is going to keep creeping into this because you've got this morality thing going on here about what is and what's not. And last week we talked a little bit about shame. That there's this ubiquitous pornography everywhere. And people get on airplanes, and people ride buses, and people have the drop-down screens in their minivans, and apparently, you know, some of these buses that you rent for bachelor parties and whatever else are playing. And everywhere you turn, people are just watching this stuff in public. And they're not ashamed to, and there's no disgrace to this anymore.
And it all goes to the fact that the devil is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He doesn't care if you're the guy who's responsible for defending us from a missile strike from a foreign country, or if you're a 20-year-old out on your bachelor party, or if you're a 50-year-old dad at home, or wherever you are. temptation to sin, sexual sin and every kind of sin, is always with us. That old Adam within us has to be drowned and has to die every single day. And sometimes it seems to folks outside the church that we're caught up on sexual sins. Well, partly because St. Paul talks about the very serious nature of them, how sex unites you with your partner in sexuality, how marriage makes you one with this other person, how sex outside that relationship breaks this holy bond. It's a very important thing. So it's not that we're just obsessed with this. It's that it's a very important thing, and the devil knows that he can use that drive that is holy and given by God to take us away, to distract us from our vocation, to break up our family, to weaken our faith, to make us be, to make us live sinful lives instead of holy lives. And it's, unfortunately, it's kind of an easy in, especially for someone who's not willing to say, I'm a sinner, this is a temptation, I got to be aware of this, and I got to look to Christ, and I got to have Christ before me all the time. See, everybody faces that temptation, and I think the best advice for that is let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Because there are lots of things you can fix your eyes on. We all know what they are. They're over the place. But God invites us to fix our eyes on Jesus, and when we do that, things work out better than when we don't.
What's interesting is the Pentagon's response. Now, this is an official agency, the Missile Defense Agency of the Pentagon. The Pentagon does not chastise these employees because it's inappropriate. They don't chastise them because it's offensive to other employees around them. They don't chastise them because it's a waste of government money for them to be spending their time looking at this stuff on the clock. Do you know why they don't like them doing this?
You used up all my good reasons already.
Because some of the pornographic websites that come out of Russia can be used to infiltrate the system to harvest information about our missile defense. Now, practical, I give you that, but you think the other three things would have come into play somewhere.
So here, let's put that together with our bigger topic we've talked about today. Defending and speaking up for a traditional marriage is seen as somehow immoral and hateful and all that is wrong with contemporary American society from government officials. And other government officials, when confronted with something that is hateful and hurtful and harmful and sinful and wrong, can think of only one reason why that's so, because another country might be able to spy on us. I got no more to say to that because I think it speaks for itself.
Yeah, that's why I bring it up. Let's go back to the phones. Marilyn, good morning. Thanks for the call.
Hi, Marilyn.
Well, thank you. Well, we know they're spying on us and we're spying on them.
A point well made.
Well, my comment, and I can't remember which one on KFUO, which pastor, but he had a lady who works for the Post-Dispatch talk about this deal with Chick-fil-A, and of course, she was going to take her family that evening for Chick-fil-A, so that tells you she's a Christian. But she brought out that it's very important that we Christians are as vociferous and everything in our actions about marriage as Adam and Eve, as God created it. And instead of letting these groups do their thing so out there in the public. But I just thought I'd bring that up, and it was a marvelous, I mean, I guess she spoke for maybe 20-25 minutes, and it was there on your station, KFUO.
Well, thank you, Marilyn. Good to hear from you this morning.
Thank you, Marilyn. And I think part of your point was very well said, especially about when Christians talk about marriage. I think too often what we don't bring up is, You know, we have the example of the perfect marriage. It's Adam and Eve before the fall. It's one man, one woman, created by God for one another, to complement one another, to help one another, to be who God made them to be as a husband and a wife. And we see from that union that the earth is populated, that they're fruitful and they multiply. And that continues to hold effect throughout creation even today. And that's a positive thing, and it's not just based on who I feel, and it's not just based in my genitals. There's more to it than the sexual act and my emotions. We too often restrict our argument to those two things, and then it becomes, you know, all is fair. You can do whatever you want.
And let's be absolutely fair in our criticism here.
Mm-hmm.
Was another fellow this morning, was up very early and before KFUO broadcast, and I was listening to this fellow, and he was on a rant about, don't blame the gays. It's the church that forsook marriage. And it started with no-fault divorce, and it started with multiple divorce, and it started with the accepting of this as a standard of living for people. And then the out of worth bedlocks. What am I talking about?
What is
out
that?
Of birth wedlock
birth
and bedlocks. Out of wedlock birth and out of worth bedlock. I have to, that'd be great.
Write that one down.
I don't. Let's go to the phones before I have any more major malfunction here. I talk for a living. Can you tell? Rick, good morning. Welcome back.
Hi, Rick.
Okay. Thanks again, guys. It just dawned on me that we give them a lot of fuel for this fire. Praise God that there's a man to stand up and give that proclamation. But where are the people backing him up? How can the church be at the same rate of divorce as the world? And when the world sees that, they have great opportunity to say poo-poo on you. You don't know nothing. And that's a sad commentary.
Thank you, Rick. Yeah, and that was sort of my point, is that when the church begins to reflect the world better than the world reflects itself.
Well, and the truth of the matter is...
We have to take some credit for this.
The truth of the matter is that the church is full of worldly people.
No.
And that's not an excuse. It's the truth. The church is going to look like the world because the people who are in the church live in the world. Now, should the church look different? Should the church call for higher standards? Should the church speak God's law clearly and demand that of its people? You're absolutely right. But the church also is about grace and forgiveness. Now, that's not about license, and it's not about complete freedom to do whatever you want. It's about keeping both those things in their proper tension and letting the gospel predominate. Yes, divorce in churches is the rate isn't any better than it is out in the world. But hopefully, within the church, the pastors, the body of Christ, the brothers and sisters there, are ministering to those people to strengthen them in their current relationships so that it doesn't get worse, to speak God's forgiveness, to build them up, to bring them into a holier place. So I see both sides of this argument a lot. If we start to say there is no divorce in the church, divorced people aren't allowed in the church, that's silly, because the church is the place that welcomes sinners. So we have to be able to welcome to those people and to minister to them. But we also have to echo Jesus, who says to the woman caught in adultery, now go and sin no more. There is also that preaching of the law and that encouragement and holding up to those high standards and exhortation to holy living. But always we want the gospel to predominate, and we want people to know Christ. And I'll end today with another comment I said before. Whether it's about homosexual marriage or it's about pornography at the Defense Department or anything else, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen.
Amen. Chaplain Keith Wise serves at Lutheran Senior Services, Merrimack Bluffs location. And real quick again, because they're such good folks at LSS.
Sure. We're out in Baldwin off of 141. You can reach us at 636-861-0600 or look us up on the web at lssliving.org and then just click on Merrimack Bluffs or any of our other communities there.
Thank you, my friend. All the best.
Thank you. God bless
you. Excellent lesson today. We'll see you tomorrow. Be safe till then.
Listen Bye-bye. To the Bible study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on KFUO Radio, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
Hi, I'm Pastor Doug Nicely. When Jesus fed 5,000 with five loaves and two small fish, it was an amazing miracle, but there has to be some significance to it too. John's Gospel, chapter 6, gives us quite a few verses explaining this miracle. Jesus said to his disciples in that chapter, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst."
In His Steps, Saturday at noon on KFUO Radio.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson, host of Moments of Assurance and Jubilation, inviting you to have a KFUO Sunday at your church. I'd be happy to preach the message for the day and share all about our KFUO ministry during the Bible class hour. You'll hear excerpts of all our programs, and also you'll have an opportunity to ask any questions you might have. So why not schedule a KFUO Sunday today? Just call Joni at 800-844-0524. Get yours on the schedule today.
We are where you are. KFUO Radio, Clayton, St. Louis. KFUO HD, streaming live at KFUO.org. AP Radio News. I'm Rita Foley. Kofi Annan, the UN Special Envoy for Syria, is giving up, and he's slamming the world powers on the way out, saying they're not supporting him as he tries to find a path to peace. Our Julie Walker's got more from New York.
Kofi Annan said he cannot continue trying to broker peace in Syria when the UN Security Council won't back him up. He points to the standoff between its five veto-wielding members, Russia and China on one side, the U.S., Britain, and France on the other. Annan, who took on the role of Syria envoy for the UN 5 months ago, did not rule out the idea of a successor, saying the world is full of crazy people like me, so don't be surprised if someone else decides to take it on. Julie Walker, New York.
Within the past few minutes, the White House has said Kofi Annan's resignation shines a light on the failure of Russia and China to move against Syria in the UN Security Council. Now to what could have been a tragedy involving three U.S. Airways jets at Reagan National Airport outside Washington. The planes, with almost 200 people on board, came within seconds of colliding midair after what the FAA is calling a miscommunication. Listen to this recording from liveatc.net.
National Tower, Muscle 1-1, we are landing
surface. Two planes taking off were put on a collision course with a plane trying to land, according to the Washington Post. The FAA says bad weather forced controllers to switch landing and departing operations, it says it's investigating. The number of people going on unemployment is up, but a four-week average fell for the sixth week in a row to the lowest point since March, suggesting the job market may actually be improving. The Dow has been down more than 170 points in the past few minutes. Investors disappointed that Europe's central bank did not put forward some concrete new plans today for dealing with Europe's debt. This is AP Radio News.